as well as outside.
Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to this edition of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and our guest this evening is Lou Princess Aziz, host of Keeping It Real. And we are pursuing the focus on our human psychology, executive function, and the focus is on improving the environment for a better life for us and our children. And we greet you, Lou Princess. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me again. I appreciate you giving this subject platform and space for us to share. You know what we've been talking about, even though We do share this on my show that airs on Sundays. It's great to have. There's so much information to disseminate. We just really don't have enough time to get it all out. So the subject is very, very important and crucial to the development of a human being.
What are we focusing on tonight?
So what we're focusing on tonight, we've been talking about in the previous week about the post-traumatic slave syndrome in a way to, well, we've been sharing the information about post-traumatic slave syndrome so that we can be more aware and accountable, aware that we do have responsibility to assess our mental health and to be accountable to the fact that there is unhealed trauma if we've not done the work as an African American from the influence, impact of child slavery. And we talked about PTSD and this phenomena of PTSS, and the difference in defining the differences between the two is that child slavery was a different kind of specific oppression, and it was put together from many different facets of the world, if you will, from science to psychology to medicine to sociology, so forth and so on, and how that 300 years of persistent oppression affects the human beings in their growth and development. And so we can say without any doubt that there is generational trauma that we've all endured. Recently have come to a space and a place where there's even the privilege and now the language we're discussing on how to facilitate our own healing. Recognizing through this study that... Go ahead.
No, I was just saying yes, agreeing with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're recognizing through this information that we've been doing for this past year that we might not, and I'm not a professional in psychiatry, there are limitations in the help that we could get that's specifically for us, and there are limitations in us getting help, and I'll explain. The limitations for us is that we don't have the language, we don't respect it, and we don't think that there are any issues that need to be solved. And then from them, there isn't the respect or regard for our journey and for the obvious evidence of psychic trauma from that. So what we're doing is that we are overcoming those challenges so that we can get to a place in a space where we are choosing to thrive, and then we can show our children what that looks like as opposed to not dealing with it, if you will. And so that brings me to and we're also laying the foundation. Later on, we'll be talking about personality disorders that do come out, but we'll just talk about basic mental health assessment and developing our language so that it's that we all can get help from the information and not be triggered to reject it or to ignore it. Some of the pushback that we've heard here on the show and on other social platforms is, why do we need to consider the impact of slavery on us now? We're 400 years later. Some of us are successful. Those of us that are not are because they did not pull themselves up by their bootstraps, if you will. And so a lot of this on the show that we've been discussing and sharing is how that can be so far from the truth. That is so far from the truth that it's ridiculous. And so the truth is what we're sharing, facts is what we're where we're at right now, so we can get to the place of doing something about it. Starting at this, a place where we don't know or we don't respect, we're not going to get to the place of health and healing, if you will. And again, this is also very important as relates to us being leaders and parents, because we want to show our children what health and healing looks like. And so before I go in, I wanted to share the Quranic reference or what Allah says about mental health assessment. the language he uses, just to dispel that quote-unquote cognitive dissonance that we may have when we say we're Muslim, we don't need mental health, all we need is Allah and Quran. That is a very, that's true, but not true. It's not true because we don't have the language to get the prescription that Allah has given us in Quran. We don't know how to apply it. We don't even see it as a message to the man about his mental health. So the language that Allah uses in Quran is that refers to mental health and purification is the soul. So we're familiar with that. We're familiar with we're okay with that word. We're okay with that language. And Allah speaks to us so many places in so many ways and so many details on the purification of the soul. So that's the foundation as you know, the Islamic foundation for the importance of healing your soul and purifying your soul. And so then the next question is, the next part of that is, how frequently should we be doing this? Well, let's look to the traditions of Allah. We have Salat and we have Ramadan. Just to keep it short and simple, Salat 5 times a day, Ramadan is once a day. Both of those practices are related to purifying your soul, abstaining from those things that distract you, having a purpose, having controlling your emotions. That's practice that Allah wants us to do all the time, and He recognizes that that's how He made the human being. That's how He made Himself to be recognized by the human being. So, and I'm saying this before we get into the trauma responses, because it's important that we recognize how important we are to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, that He would give us the details and make it clear and plain for us, for those that are looking. Number two. There is, if you do not do the inner work, you will not evolve. You have to do the inner work. And the inner work includes assessing, doing the purification. And we're going to get into what that looks like. Because before, we think purification is just cleaning yourself, or what does purification of your mind look like on a regular, consistent basis? And then that goes to how trauma fits into that. What trauma, and we're appreciating the impact of trauma on our growth and development, is that it prevents us from purifying our soul. In fact, trauma weighs our soul down. It makes our soul so heavy, and then it gets us stuck in a place. It gets us stuck at the place of the wound, and it gets us stuck at the place of the injury. And then there's so many expressions that come out of trauma that you adapt to in the face of trauma, if you will.
For the audience, how respectful the guidance of God is to us in the Quran, and the nuance methodology that the Creator uses in addressing us for the betterment of our souls and the betterment of a human society. There is there's a picture language. There's another word for a parable.
Abstract or metaphorical, allegorical.
Yes, metaphor, where God gives us the picture of a woman who produces yarn. So she's working, and if you know, you can Google yarn making. You know, many people have probably seen this procedure on the TV, and how labor, to my way of thinking, labor intensive it is to produce yarn for clothing. And then within this picture, God says, you know, consider the woman who produces the yarn. And then with her own hands, she unravels it. She undoes that production, you know, with her own hand. Now, is that a picture of a healthy person who works hard to produce a product, and then with a similar effort undoes that work. So here God has given us a picture to consider, you know, and we're told, we've been told that the woman represents, is a representation of the social, the societal life. You know, the societies, you know, we identify these societies, we call them women, you know, and in other places we identify the woman in terms of allegory or picture language. And so I just wanted to share that in terms of what you're referencing with trauma, unhealthy thinking that leads to unhealthy behavior.
Alhamdulillah for sharing that. When I'm listening to the story, I think woman, what does woman represent? She represents the feminine phase of man, not
yes.
just female. Yes, so another thing we're clarifying is those pictures you get when you hear these words. She's the woman represents the feminine phase of man. She signifies the intuition, the perceptions of truth reflected into the intellect of the soul. So then you've got in this story a woman who's what did you say she's doing to the thread?
She's producing thread, a yarn, you know, which, you know, you have a, I think they call it a loom.
Mm-hmm.
And the production of that yarn or thread, you know, it takes a time and effort in using this loom instrument to produce that thread. And then she turns around and she undoes that with her own hands, you know.
With her own hands. So, yeah, it's obvious. That's a speaking to a mental health issue.
Yes.
I mean, a mental health issue, not for a woman. It's not the expression of a female having an issue. This issue is even telling you where in your psyche this is manifesting.
Yes, yes.
It's telling you exactly where it is in you and how that part of you should be operating, because it's actually leading you to critical thinking. If you're looking for the message and you look at that, why would she undo this work? And it takes so long to do this. She's gestated, she's paid attention to detail, and then turns around and undoes it, undoes her work,
yes,
undoes the work,
yes,
the good of the work that she's done, if you will. Yeah, that's a perfect example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about mental health. I have one that comes to mind when I think of the Battle of Uhud and the trauma that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam endured, and he endured, and there was because of that, there was Allah revealed something to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I can see that it speaks to not only, I can't make it finite, but there is a speaking to the effects of trauma or traumatic events on people and their motivation, and then them being involved, if you will. So as a group of people, Allah speaks to that, and then if you're talking about your as an individual, what Allah says, how you should, it was a very traumatic, very, Prophet almost died, mashallah. He said, had you been, I'll leave it there for some comments. I'm looking for the Quranic reference call that I can leave it directly from comments.
Okay. And while you're looking, let me just quickly say that this is the providence of Almighty God in an environment being created by everyday folks who don't have necessarily have the credentials, but are mindful and respectful of those with credentials in terms of the science of the human mind and the science of the human sensibilities and sensitivities, and then thinking about using our intelligence to think about these scientific principles in terms of how we're made up, you know, our soul, mm-hmm. our intelligence and so forth, how God has constructed us, and sharing that with an audience of everyday, particularly of everyday men and women, to better help us with a knowledge base that will provide for us better health, better productivity, and a better future, because we're understanding how to create an environment for our children to grow and develop in and be socialized by.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're continuing the work that was seeded by W.D. Muhammad. You know, we should be in a different place than we were 20 years ago. And we should be in a different place 20 years from now. So we've got the seeds. We're, you know, going to do, you know, we're doing the work. And I'm most confident that, you know, this is in line, congruent, and to what he was teaching us and where he wanted us to go. We won't get to where we want to be as a people and fulfill our destiny, even as individuals or society, unless we do this work. Otherwise, we will still be conduits of the negative energy if we don't tackle the energy and see it, the truth of that energy. And that's what we're doing in these teachings, is removing the lies or removing the untruths or revealing the truth. Because in the truth being revealed, there's power. There's really no debating it. There's, when you hear it, it's like, oh, your soul's like, well, I need that, you know?
That's right.
So in Quran, Surah 3 and 159, so this is the response, revealed ayat after the Battle of Uhud. If we are unfamiliar, you can read upon it, but it's one of the worst battles spoken of in Quran. It's not the words. So Allah says, it is a part of the mercy of Allah that you deal gently with them. Were thou severe, had you been severe or harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from around thee. So pass over their faults. Ask Allah for forgiveness for them and consult them in affairs of moment, and then ask when thou has taken a decision, put thy trust in Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's go back to a place I want to go to. Where, if you had been harsh-hearted, there's the injury they've already gotten, then you as their leader, you then add more injury to their injury, to their trauma, they would have left them out of the program. They just would have broken away. There wouldn't have been no more good for this mission, for their calling. Pass over their faults. That's to you and to them. To you in your mind, don't look at their faults. In the place of tragedy and trauma, you have to resist the enemy's invitation to focus on faults, to focus on shortcomings, to focus on reasons to complain, to even be in ruminating of what you should have, could have, would have done. That's another toxic trick that comes out of trauma, is that you get stuck in, had I just done this? Had I just done that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, pass over their faults. And not just for them, but for you. So you don't, their faults don't seed in you and produce bitterness. In the face of trauma, it's important that you know how to deal with trauma so that it's not speaking for you and you're not listening to it. Ask forgiveness for them. Ask Allah to forgive them. That's not just for them. It's for you as well as the individual. It's the mindset you want to focus on having when you are, when hurt and harm happens. And this will be important as we, pioneers in this, do the inner work of healing ourselves, because we want to, quote unquote, remove the cognitive dissonance of assessing our mental health and dealing with it. So we got some,
now,
or not,
explain,
not remove it, I apologize, settle it.
Explain, if you will, the cognitive dissonance, so we can be, you know, we've discussed it. Explain it again.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cognitive, we've got the word cognition, which means thinking, and then dissonance,
yes,
means distance or space or away from the separation. So there's a conflict with what you think or believe and what you do. We believe, for example, just like Muslims, we believe Quran is all we need, Allah is all we need. What do we need therapy for? Why do we need to do that? Well, you know that that's not true, and you've taken on that belief because there's some issues in believing or trusting that you are, number one, in charge of assessing your mental health, equipped with healing yourself mentally, and that these are not concepts that man owns. These are concepts that Allah explains to us in detail, maybe in different language, but we're pulling that language out. And we're paying attention to that language in Quran. So we settle. When I say remove that, that was wrong. Removing it is a different thing. When you remove cognitive dissonance, that means you change something to make the narrative fit for you. Settling it
and
is.
You can, if I may, you can hear in the second. You know, you mentioned cognitive in terms of thinking, but you can hear,
right,
the word sound in. Sound in dissonance. So you're not hearing
right,
the ideas correctly. You know, you understand the language, but it's not being received, because you're hearing language, but you're not understanding. You're not allowing the understanding to permeate your spirit or your soul. You know, there's a resistance in hearing.
Right, and that leads to resistance and growth. Now, that comes from, that happens at the place of a traumatic event. Cognitive dissonance has its place. It has its utility. It's not a bad thing. It's what allows us to live and survive for 400 years of oppression. That doing the work that needed to be done just to stay alive. There's a lot of cognitive dissonance in that. Being told that you're an animal and you don't have a soul. So many things, so many places where it was necessary. However, doing the inner work, we're going to find out, we're going to look at those things personally, those things that need to be updated, upgraded or deleted, or what's the word, removed. The programming, we're going to address the programming, and cognitive dissonance is one of those ways that trauma can affect you. And it actually tips the scale, because when we talk about trauma, four responses, and they're not as simple as I thought. They're four small words, but they're extremely complex, and how they present is so specific to the individual and their circumstances. So when we doing the inner work, my hand is really sleeping.
Take your time. And let me just say that what is being done what this environment that we're creating with your presentations is the translation of language in such a way that the person receiving it will, the product of better production, better health, better balance, a balanced living.
And if you're also the calibration of the knowledge, well, not of the knowledge, the calibrating the perception, making it in line with what's true. Case in point, it's, we recognize that the idea of worshiping a white God is so deeply seen in the psyche of the African American or the descendants of chattel slavery or those who were fed Western idea of Christianity. That idea is so hard to uproot from the top down. You have to go right down to the bottom of it to get that out. And that goes to you establishing the right identity about yourself. If you don't get your identity about yourself, you will always default to worshiping something other than you and something unlike, well, something other than you and unlike you. That's something other than a love upon Allah. You will be worshiping false concepts. And that's when we can see the enemy, the power of the enemy and why he attacks the way he attacks, where he attacks. And that goes to children's basic needs. And so when we're talking about children's basic needs, think about how many we have 400 years where as children our ancestors' basic needs were not met. And what does that develop into? So I also want us to always be mindful that this is a 400 year consistent producing of people who developed with a vacant or absent esteem of themselves. So then there is, the enemy got you there on the wound of your self-identity. You can't meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get revelation from him for you if your identity is skewed. Because there are many places where we're told that there's certain ways to come to Allah and certain ways to see Allah, hearken to Allah, listen to Allah, and we're getting to how to make that manifest. But our identity, the enemy gets us on our identity. He gets us on trauma. There are not many places. You don't have to go many places to get you for life. And so he's got 400 years in the making on the African American here in on chattel slavery. So that's enough for you to say, hey, I got to look at some things and assess some things and do some things differently to thrive. We're going to talk about the four trauma responses and just four examples of what that looks like. So that we can, have a good understanding. Before I do that, I want to reiterate the child's basic need. These are needs that this is how the human being is wired. This is nothing that is conjecture or theory. The human being is wired, and it has been to have seven basic needs. Seven basic needs, if you will. So the first need is security. So we've got 400 years of trauma and no security. Without need as a child during slavery, your needs are not met at the basic level. Shelter, protection, stability, medical care, proper food, emotional support, connection with community, proper healthy connection with community, persistent stability. We've not had consistent stability or for the most part of the past 400 years. So based on these facts, we can say that we've got work to do in the form of purifying our soul or assessing and addressing and healing ourselves mentally. And then there's the sixth one, which is education, proper education, and then role model, who to look up to. We need somebody to look up to, someone other than ourselves to look up to, if you will. So those basic needs. Every human being has them, and when they don't have them, there are pathologies that come from issues with attachment. They don't attach. So unhealthy attachments, we've got that on the checklist. For 400 years, we had unhealthy attachments. For 400 years, we had our security. We were insecure in everything, food, clothing, shelter, medical care. Our stability was shaken. So, yeah, we can be on the same page that we were traumatized and we need to do something about it. We cannot depend on them because they traumatized us, and you can't heal in the space or in the environment or around the people that caused you pain. And that's just another fact about that. So another truth that could be freeing, if you will. So these four trauma topologies, the four Fs, of course, we got the fight, the flight, the freeze, and the fawn. So for individuals who have good parenting, let's just say you grew up and you were not traumatized in your environment, no more than, you know, you weren't traumatized. I mean, not saying that you weren't hurt. We do get hurt. Suffering does happen, but you weren't traumatized by your parents, your good communication, great boundaries, all things great. Then you have a healthy relationship with all of the four trauma responses, and you can choose which one is appropriate for the incident that you're in. You can freely choose whether you need to run, freeze, fawn, or fight. You can freely choose. For someone who's traumatized, they get stuck in either choosing one or two. They shut off 50% to 75% of their survival tools. So not only are you stuck in survival, but you're not equipped to survive well. As an individual, if you're stuck in using just flight or fight and flight, and your mind isn't able to process quickly which one is appropriate to you and how to appropriately be in fight, be in flight, be in fawn or freeze, how to these to show up and be appropriate. So, like for those who are it becomes fixated, if that's the term that I'm hearing here. There's fixation with one or two of the trauma responses. So, recap, trauma is, the responses are necessary, they're healthy, and they should be managed. Everything requires management from us, not haphazardly. We don't want to have our responses just run for us. We should be in charge of them. So there's polarization to fight, flight, or freeze. I'm going to read something from the, well, I'll write the, cite the resource later. But we got an ad, we got a caller. I see you, 727-408. We'll take the caller. The four types are commonly ambivalent about real intimacy. Okay. Let me get to a first place to say this. Experiencing trauma, consistent trauma, they produce emotional trauma, flashbacks, prolonged regression, anything, you know, we've got an understanding of some of the things that cause trauma. So for someone, for example, who's a fight type and narcissistic abuse, they have trauma, they receive some trauma through narcissistic abuse. So what... the fight type. So if someone is fixated on typing, fighting, their response can be triggered by narcissistic people who are bullying or who are, from what we know about, we haven't talked about narcissistic behavior. We're going to get into that. But
would you define it?
Go ahead.
Define for us. Yes, please.
The I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm asking you to define the terminology.
Narcissist.
Yes, please.
Okay.
And it's important. This is something that Imam has made us more sensitive to. You know, professionals have their language. Professional plumber, a professional lawyer or doctor, you know, we speak English, but in these different areas of work activity, we have languages that are not necessarily common to everyday folks. So the Imam has made us aware that we need to define these terms in such a way that it will be, you know, everyday folks can grasp the ideas and work with them in a way for them to be more useful in their lives.
Absolutely. Okay, so narcissism. Okay, there's narcissistic personality disorder. Will not speak professionally about that because that's outside of my skill set.
This is something that I have to remind myself, and I remind others. If you've got walking around sense and an interest of being more productive and helping others to be more productive, you know, we should, and this is what I was talking with you earlier off air. There's a book that deals with the kind of intimidating atmosphere of people with credentials. You know, the commercial establishment has produced this atmosphere. Well, if you don't have these credentials, you're not qualified. But if you've got common sense and sincerity for your own self-improvement and the improvement of others to make your environment, your neighborhood better, make your family life better, make your neighborhood better, make America better, you know, that's all you need, you know, because it's, you know, what's that saying? It's not how much you know, but it's how much you care. People don't care about how much you know. And then when you start, you know, the environment of the educational environment is such, and we remind ourselves and remind others, the educational environment is designed to separate those with higher education from the common folk rather than bringing us together to form an alliance where we can use the various skills that Allah has gifted everyday folks with and those folks with higher knowledge, higher education. And this is something that I remind myself of, you know. There's an arrogance.
When I came back from college, I couldn't speak to anybody in the community. So, yeah, I lived there. And I didn't understand why they spoke the way they spoke. I thought my way of speaking was the best way. And they, of course, didn't share that same, but I got that from where I went, that this is proper anyway, but I digress.
I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, I even have to ask Allah, give me the language. I mean, I want to know what they're talking about, and I want to talk to them. And I want to teach. I can't teach my students if they don't speak the language, if I don't speak their language. So, yeah, I have to ask. That's a funny story. I had to ask a lot to give me African-American vernacular. Hilarious. I've taken enough time. If you want to, we can take a break now and take that caller before I get
Oh, yeah. Done. Thank you for reminding me. I get so self-absorbed in the conversation and what you're sharing. I forget about the housekeeping, taking the break. So we'll be back after these messages with more of Not Just Talk. Our guest is Lou Princess Aziz, host of Keeping It Real. We're dealing with trauma, executive function, or the discipline, you know, self-regulation and the discipline that helps us to learn and work and walk in the social life.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil,
every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. Our host, I'm your host, Michael Hameen. Our guest is Lou Princess Aziz of Keeping It Real. And if you'll continue, and I remind myself as remind others that in the history of Africa, a language was developed, Swahili, because there's so many various languages and dialects in the continent, not a state, but the continent of Africa. So for better communication, a language was developed for trade and for other needs. Swahili was developed. And so when we're dealing with this oppressive language environment, we need come together with common interest of bringing ourselves together and identifying common language that will help us better understand those things that get in the way of us seeing our common humanity. And if you'll continue, we've got a couple of hands up from our listeners. Okay. Let's see what the callers are want to share. 7748. Welcome. State your name. Where you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal from Southern Florida. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. We should be grateful to Allah for the experiences that those in our association have gone through, and then the fact that God himself gave us great leadership in Imam Wahdat Din Muhammad with a perception of life that make things very, very simple and very effective. And Michael said that what the human being wants most out of life now, he wants to be able to make sense out of things. He wants to be able to understand things. And Imam Muhammad said that even if this thing about the situation of slavery, he said he viewed this as that Allah put us in this situation so we could be in the good shape and condition that we are in now. And see, I accept that perception. I've gone through that language of psychologists who really don't really believe in God. They don't put that principle of God out there. So when you come in with people in environment on AM360, in the environment that we used on, talk the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad. It's very understandable, very, very clear, and we got the example, and it works. Ask Michael how he got here. Ask Michael how he dealt with trauma. Ask yourself how you dealt with trauma. Ask anybody else how they, in the Imam Muhammad situation, how they deal with trauma and how they deal with trauma. But remember, it's not just an individual by themselves. The plan is for our group effort to come in and take care of this business that is in our charge now. And mm-hmm. when you got that going on for yourself, you don't have to be, don't be concerned about all that trauma. Deal with what you're doing. Shaitan take out his mind. He have us all wrapped up in all the different language and the trauma this and the trauma that. Look, take care of your business. Say your prayers. Follow your five principles. Self-Imam Muhammad perception and going on and be successful. Allah put this in your nation to conform to all these different things and trials and things that you've gone through. It's very, very simple. And
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, I'm trying
to understand. Are you in favor of mental health assessment and healing, or are we saying that it's not necessary or we don't need to? I'm working to understand.
What I'm trying to say that Imam Muhammad, he give us the information, and we have been dealing with mental issues with that information from the Quran, his instruction from the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet. Of course, you know that things happen. So it's a mental, it's a disorder. So I got a disorder. I got mental disorders. But that's not stopping me from taking care of my business. Period.
Okay.
I'm doing it. Let me say, do the link. Accept a form of leadership. Accept a certain amount of knowledge, and just stick with that. And everything gonna be all right. I don't get the sciences like that. Once you have the plain language and simple language of really dealing with. Go ahead.
The problem comes in. We've got to be aware of the environment that we're communicating with each other in. The environment is opposed to us coming to common terms, because our division, our separation in terms of the language that we use and the ideas that like, for instance, when you say Imam Muhammad, that's going to turn some folks listening off. But Imam has said, you know, I'm connected with the language of Scripture. I'm connected with the language of Mother Nature, the principles, the logic in nature. If we can come to those common terms, that Mother Nature has a language and logic, that Imam Muhammad, you know, when we say Imam Muhammad, that's what we're talking about. He has developed as an intellect, as a soul.
Right.
He developed by virtue of connecting with the language of Scripture and connecting with the language of Mother Nature, how it operates, the logic of it.
We've got a couple of moments.
I'm gonna ask you to go out of the queue, and then come back in and
nobody
share.
I'm sorry,
Bilal, but we've got these hands up that we need to get in.
Right.
111.
Right. Go ahead.
Before Amina, I think this is you. Let Sister Lou Princess respond first, and then you can come on in. Your mic is open.
He said that we shouldn't pay attention to trauma and focus on trauma. That is the reason why I spend so much time defining what trauma is and its impact on our growth and development, so that we can have the best appreciation for its impact, so we can pay attention to it. By us ignoring trauma, then we don't deal with the with our issues. And then we inadvertently pass on our stresses to our children. In dealing with the hurt, if I can deal with my trauma, and my daughter can see me, because I'm a pioneer in this in my family. I am. So this is a walk I'm not taking by myself. She's walking with me. I'm sharing it with whoever listens. But me being able to do that, I'm giving her the tools, and she's picking them up, that this is a walk that we're going to have to do for the rest of our lives if we want to live a healthy life. We cannot take for granted that mental health is for granted. Mental health you do not get for granted. That's something you have to walk after diligently. And this is how we see this in our tradition. We're prescribed a salat 3 to 5 times, depending upon what you forget. But that's commit to But that fear lets you know that we are to pay attention to our soul's purification multiple times throughout the day. So
yes.
We need to develop a language that we can actually, that's tangible, that's almost tangible for us and relatable for us, so that we don't continue to see this as something other, as something out there, as something I got to, as long as I'm doing the then I'm there. But you're missing the best, the sublime, sublime joy. You're missing that. You missed that.
Let's bring the caller in. State your name and where you're calling from, your sister.
Assalamu alaikum. It is Sister Amina alaikum. From the Atlanta area again.
Welcome. Come on in.
I'm chuckling now because, you know,
right.
I'm listening to, you know, what my sister is saying. And, you know, it's a conversation that I have with several believers all the time. You know, our situations in our community is an outgrowth of not dealing with the mental health. And the Quran is a shifa. The Quran is a healing. We have to apply the principles that Allah set out in his guidebook, because the Quran is a guidebook. It is a guidebook for our whole life, every part of our life. We can't compartmentalize that, let's not deal with one part when the other part is going lacking, or there's some challenges or tests. Allah give us tests. And I'm one that really, really, I mean, I could write a book on all the tests that have happened. Everything that has happened to me, and I've been a Muslim a long time. I've been a part of Imam Muhammad's Rahimahullah Association community. I've lived in three states. I have a family. Now I'm about to be a grandmother again because my oldest son and his beautiful wife are expecting. And she's about to give birth any time now because she is plump like a balloon. They just sent me the baby shower pictures. But what I wanted to say is that what we don't deal with, it passes on to the next generation. We have a lot of us as Muslims and believers, because there are Muslims and then there are mu'mins, you know, a believer. We have all different levels of how we apply our faith, and that's the key. We have to apply what principles can help us in our journey through this life. Mental illness is a part of, I mean, the Quran speaks about mental illness, how to go about it, how to deal with it. There's surahs and ayats about how the Prophet, peace be upon him, dealt with the, you know, disabled, the mentally challenged, you know, all of that. But we don't apply it. We have to apply, you know, the principles of all of these sciences, you know, psychology, psychiatry, even sociology and everything else, physiology, all of these principles come out of studying what these sciences have to say to the human being as to how we apply what is going on. You know, people have their faith. Yes, we practice our faith. We live our life to the best of our ability. But there are challenges. There are challenges that happen with different people. And Allah gives us different challenges in different ways. Some people may go through depression or sadness, or and they may be praying five times a day, you know.
True.
Still, stuff happens, you know. They may be going through a family strife, family, what do you call it, breakups, and, you know, different challenges. I mean, there are people that have sexual abuse, emotional abuse goes on in Muslim families. What are we going to just pretend just don't deal with it because what? And then it just passes on, and the outgrowth of it is, you know, we have a lot of traumatized people. There's spiritual abuse that goes on, and there's people that are mullahs, sheikhs, imams. You know, they are not setting the best example with their families. And then the children or the grandchildren, they want nothing to do with Islam. Or something else happens where sometimes the relatives. Yes.
If I could just interrupt you just for a moment to support what you're saying. Because we have an environment where people with credentials are listened to more so than folks with walking around sense, but who have, you know, who have an intelligence that's able to relate. One of the strategies is to mention people like Dr. Bessel van der Kolk. He produced this book called what is it? Help me out, sister. Sister Lou Princess, the body keeps score, or what
the
is
score,
it?
The body keeps the score.
Now, if you go onto YouTube, you can hear him speak in his lectures about how trauma is an issue in the American society that affects every aspect of our society, business, social. Education, trauma has, because you know, we have these relationships in business, these relationships in government and so forth. Trauma affects all of these areas, and so when you have a professional that you can point to, Dr. Kenneth Hardy, you can YouTube him, and he talks about the effects in particular of, he's an African American clinician. In particular, how the environment affects us and how we move through the society in our families and as well as, you know, other relationships. So go ahead. You know, we've got other callers. So if you make your final comments.
Yes, I was going to make my final. And I was going to, you bring to mind a few clinicians in our African-American Muslim community that deal with this.
Yes.
We have, and I don't want to, you know, some people say black or African-American, whatever, Muslim, because there's a difference in some people's language. You know, we have those, some from overseas that don't necessarily identify with us. So we got
that
going on, but what I'm saying in the academic field and in the mental health field, we have. I'm thinking of our sister in Philadelphia area that has the Muslim Wellness Foundation, and all of them are Muslims in our association that provide a, so they talk about trauma and everything else all the time that we deal with and how to heal from it and give workshops and seminars. We have, I'm thinking of Dawood Waleed talking about the history of our Muslims in this demographic, us, you know. So we have people that are practicing Muslims, that identify with our Imam Muhammad's tafsir and all of that. Some people don't, you know, but I'm just saying we have this. So Allah put this in the atmosphere so we can utilize.
Yes.
That just shows that we have the solutions in the people that have been blessed to bring about the solutions to these different challenges that we go through with. It's there
you.
For a reason.
Thank
so we don't have to say,
it's not,
let's just ignore it. Thank you. Salamu alaikum.
Thank you so much, Sister Mina. Press 1 to go out of the queue, and we ask you to press 1 again if you want to make further comments. We've got another caller. This is our Executive Director of Community Wide Shura Conference. I believe it's Martha Nyla. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you so very, very much. To both you and Francis. Assalamu alaikum, mm-hmm. Francis.
Wow, you're so contagious with your smile. I can feel it.
And to everyone who's spoken, and I'm going to enter from, you know, many times I was told, okay, and I had no clue. I didn't know how to fix it. And I was told that I was so book learned that I had no common sense. And I was trying to figure that out. I said, well, wait a minute. I go to work, pay the light bill. I know to pay the water bill. I know to keep gas in my car. I know I need a car. And if I don't have a car, I know to walk. So how much common sense do I need? So I just left that alone, you know, on someone trying to what you call it, label or categorize or put you in, because I wasn't in the what you call it, the regular activities of just hanging out. So that, you know, to consider, you're a bookworm and yes, I love to study. Yes. And so when I started to talk about certain things, it wasn't on the same level because, you know, I don't care what it is. If you're studying a certain thing and somebody else isn't, you're going to be singled out, and likewise for them. So I began to realize and appreciate everyone's contribution or everyone's ability to study what they like and to do it. And so that's why I started just being around at the bus stop, on the train, on a bus, and wherever it was, and just watching people. I literally just watch people. Just to love and appreciate the simplicity of their life, or if it was complex, it was, you know, if it got to the point where they were having arguments and, you know, something like that, I just, you know, wander on away from that. But then to just yesterday, as I connected with, because I was always looking for God, all right, and I believe that perhaps someone could say, she's crazy. I've heard that too. And and again, you have to find a place for yourself and appreciate how God has placed you and appreciate others. Don't compare and become vain with that process. And then everything that I've done, you know, and having to convey what you're thinking and how you're thinking with others, especially younger minds, and see that they could comprehend. Do you know how much of a relief that is? It's a valve that is released that you just can't explain it. When you can share words, like you were talking about language, share words, and children can understand it, oh, Allah, that is wonderful. But yesterday I was sharing with a young lady about in about a 15-minute gap that we had to connect with one another. In that 15 minutes, I was able to share with her from the days of Farad Muhammad, may Allah please grant him high station in paradise, and on through Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Clara Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with them as well, and Imam Warsdeen Muhammad, Rahim Allah, giving her an understanding of who I am in today. But where I come through, I didn't take the time to share with her my mother and father, immediate family life and all of that. But I wanted to bring her to the point of CWSC because that's my focus, right? And I wanted to bring her to that point to understand where my love and passion is now, because we were in that kind of conversation. And as I told her some of the initiatives, but the bottom line was, I say, we African-Americans, however we see, those who are descendants of the enslaved here in America, definitely have to turn within our own selves, in our communities, however we identify those communities, we'll know where we are when we have to say, okay, let's stop looking for somebody else to come in and clean up our neighborhood, physical picture, on a regular basis. Take on that as an initiative. If it's already in an area where it's already clean, alhamdulillah, then there's something else to be tended to. But definitely that environment is producing more and more havoc on our minds because we're saying one thing, we're great, we're good, we're fucked, but it's not balancing out. I won't call it pretense. It's not balancing out when we turn around and we see the deficits that we can take care of. I'll stop right there. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And Princess, your comment. And I see you, callers, Bilal and Sister Mina, I see your hand is back up. Just hold on. Go ahead, Sister Princess.
Yes, thanks for sharing that, Sister Martha. I, too, was told that I was I had so much book sense but not enough common sense, or I've heard, you're so smart, you're dumb, or I've heard all those things. And I felt I had to process how I felt about those comments the intention was upon me. It wasn't good. You weren't intending to do any good to me, and I never told you that you weren't smart enough. I was just excited to share with you what I had gone and learned. And the common sense part, I asked those same questions. I know how to read a book. Don't you need common sense to know how to read a book? I know how to drive. Don't you need common sense to keep from getting hit? Stop and stop. These are all the things that I thought. And what I came to understand is my language wasn't befitting. And there's
how do you mean?
We were not communicating. We could be talking about the same thing and not saying anything alike. We could have a discussion about apples and we'd be on two different levels. And like another aspect is I'm different than you, and somehow you think that my book sense outranks your intelligence. You have the intelligence. You use it in a different way. You we all have intelligence. And that's another thing to combat is that identity, that looking at your others who you think are better or above you, and then saying something like that to them that's really from your own wound and your own insecurity. And you don't know that it's affecting that other person. And you're not even on point to protect yourself or you from hurting someone else. You would just say cavalierly, you're so smart, but you ain't got no common sense. Like, well, I got you on the common sense. You got me on the book sense. No, let's not do that. And I had to come to terms with loving to read. My friends would tease me. Where'd you get that from? You learned it in a book. That was my phrase when I was younger. Oh, that's princess, learn something in a book. That's one of the challenges we have as we try to elevate and educate ourselves, and we come back and so passionate and we want to share and
you know scripture, particularly the Holy Quran, in its clear language and presentation about our human psychology, God Most High says in the Quran to come to common terms. And this is something that we see as problematic in today's society, language being used on different levels, ideas or a particular philosophy that causes this, what you talked about earlier, this cognitive dissonance, you know, where my particular mindset, my particular philosophy of life, I can't connect it with how you're seeing life, you know, and you know, this tribal kind of narrow way of looking at things, me and mine, me and my group, you know, as opposed to other folks, and not having empathy. And one thing I want to share before we open it up to the return callers is that what was the point? Is that these conflicts, particularly this conflict between Zionist Israel and the Hamas, you know, terrorists or freedom fighters, depending on your point of view, how it's drawing people to want to know, what do these Palestinian people believe? You know, what is this Hamas group? What is the foundation of what their behavior? And so it's drawing people to look, I should say, those intellectually curious people, those people who think and want to know more about the world that they live in, looking for Quran, looking for a language from the Muslim scripture to understand what these standards, what the standards are of people who identify with this Islam. So I'll stop there. Any further comment before we open up the mic? Sister,
yeah, to the previous caller, she prompted me to write down awareness is the key. And we do need to be aware of and of our mind, how it works, how our minds work in order to equip ourselves. We cannot equip ourselves better if we don't learn, continue to learn. It's not okay to, in 2023, and with the most honorable respect, that we look to expanding the message of our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and not just resting with where it was when he seeded it. When things are seed, they grow, and then they spring, and they produce fruit, and they get reseeded. So this is what we've harvested and reseeded. We want to do that. We want to continue to do the work, continue to on the trajectory that he started, not at the point that he ended. We always want to look for in line with a trajectory, a moving, an advancing. Yes. So I do get the direction to stay and use the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I say I am in line with that. I am in line, and if I'm not, may Allah help me to be more in line. But I do believe that I am, you know, working hard to make the language common. I recognize, like I just told you, I do, you know, that institutionalized learning I received. So I'm diligently working to make the language easily understood and the concepts easily graspable, if I can say that, so that we can get the message. I don't want to speak in a big I in a little U format or I know this. No, I want us to get this so that we can move, because I'm seeing that I can't, my getting better is just me getting better. But if I get better and I teach other people to get better, then that's the work that has to be done. That's that we're called to do. And we can look at the Sunnah of the Prophet. That man that sits in the masjid, he had decided, hey, it'd just be easy if I just sit here because people are too much to deal with. But then they asked, is he a more pious Muslim? No, he got admonished from sitting around and doing nothing. So you can't, there's no sitting around and not doing anything. There are no excuses for not advancing. The information is going to come to you. You can receive it or you can reject it. But truth be told, we've shared enough information on this platform to make it clear that we have sustained consistent, persistent, not an unrelenting trauma to the tune of 400 plus years. It has affected our culture as it expresses itself now, and we continue to perpetuate generational trauma because we are unaware of how it is in us. We're unaware of how we transfer those traumatic practices onto our lineage, our legacy. We need to know that. So the book stops here. We see that in the story of Moses. We see that in the story in places in Quran. The mindset of the people has to change. We have to change how we think about ourselves, what we say to ourselves. We're going to get into that too, because our language is not good about who we are, who we think we are. Even as Muslims, we don't speak to ourselves like Allah speaks to us about us. So we want to get into that too. But yeah, I wanted to, then the victimizing, looking for someone else to save us or to come to our rescue. That's a mentality that was planted in us that we would get out if we address the trauma. We would recognize that we don't need someone to save us. We don't need a policy and procedure to change for us to overcome. The power of overcoming is in us and in knowledge, true knowledge about who we are. If we continue to look at ourselves the way they have taught us to look at us, even if we put on hijab and a kufi, if you still think that there's a savior outside or there is heaven after, or you don't get benefits here. I mean, all of those thoughts, we have to address all those thoughts, and that's what we're doing. And then the empathy, someone mentioned empathy. We can look at the Battle of Uhud, how important empathy is. It's so important that the whole mission was going to, if Allah had not revealed, this is the love revealing an example of how to be empathetic and the importance of empathy in the face of trauma to save you from the demon of trauma or the children of trauma. Empathy is the key. We talked about that. So I'll stop right there. We can take the next caller.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to Bilal Abdullah and then Amina Bashir, I believe the last name is. So welcome back, Bilal. Your comment.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I'd like to apologize to you, Brother Mike. No problem.
No.
You know, let me tell you something. I found out that knowledge came on the series you see. No, it's very, very hard to I have a diet of Imam Wahdat Imam. This is what I do. I live, breathe, and everything. So I'm listening, I'm reading the books. I'm dealing with issues, and I have to try to maintain and protect myself. So from time to time, I haven't done it in a long time, but from time to time I go off. But I'm not going to stay on because I know it's incorrect and not proper. And so alhamdulillah, I feel strongly about the power of Al-Islam and whatever, however we break it down. But the bottom line is that the sense, the rational thinking, the intelligence that Allah has given us and our moral commitment to what we have can bring us where we want to go in life. And I'm human first, and I'm one who accepts the global concept of the compassion for all people. I want to be the mercy to humanity.
Wonderful.
When I go off a humble, y'all excuse me, and I'm struggling with that, and it just happens sometimes. But y'all forgive me, inshallah.
No problem. We thank you. We've got to meet these challenges, and life is designed for us. The challenges, even in our disagreements, the design of the disagreements is to help us to grow. And to see whether or not we can understand others' life. That's what this idea of empathy is, understanding other folks' humanity and that their experiences may not be exactly like mine and the challenges to their life are not going to be exactly like mine, but I can relate to the fact that life challenges us all, that life is not meant to be easy. Life was designed to be hard or difficult, I should say, so that we can bring out the best that God has put in us. And I'm going to go to Sister Amina now. Is it Bashir, my sister?
Yes, it is. You're correct. You remembered.
Come on in.
Yes, sir. I'm reiterating what you and Sister and Brother Bilal was saying as far as we do have to have not only empathy, but compassion for each other, and we have to realize that all of us are going through different experiences in this human walk. You know, we're human beings trying
right.
to just navigate our way through this life that was given to us. And we have different, I don't want to say trajectory, but, you know, different ways that we do it. Everybody is not going to be the same, even every other Muslim, you know, every
yeah.
other believer. We have good Christians who have the same similar principles that they are trying to live their life by, good people of
That's
the Jewish
true.
Faith. You know, everybody is not a monolith. You know, we're not yeah. robots. We have feelings. We have hearts and a soul and a certain way that we see things. Everybody's at different levels, and really, you know, our faith walk is whatever that is, you know, is really tested to help us navigate our way through it. You know, I mean, it really is, and I'm seeing from speaking from experience, and I'm no expert at all, but you know, just what so many others have gone through with, you know, there's people in the community that I've known so long, they're like family. And I've seen
yeah.
them go through things, you know, male and female. I have a lot of believers in several different states and here in Atlanta. I've been in Atlanta the most years, almost 50 years I've been here. Living this life and you know, just seeing a lot of what we go through with as believers, you know, we have to understand that Allah is testing all of us, and I'm saying it as someone who almost gave up at one time. I was so challenged with the things that was personally going through with me that you know I used to wonder why, like and it was all a test. So now,
right.
you know, and I've seen other people. I have non-Muslims in my family, my nephews and nieces and cousins. You know, now they want to know about Islam because they don't understand how am I still a Muslim? How?
Isn't that something?
Everything
that happened
to me, you know, this is what they I don't understand, Auntie. How you know all this that happened to you, and they were blaming
yeah.
the religion. It's the religion. It's you know
yeah,
like
yeah.
in other words, you know these
okay,
are all mental challenges.
Let me interrupt you here to say
okay.
that we've come to the end of we've got about 60 more seconds in terms of the end of the programming time, but we do have extra time that we're going to go into the overflow, if you will. So if you'll just make your final comments, and we'll hear from Lou Princess, or Sister Princess. Go ahead.
And I just want to say this, and then I'll be quiet. You know, I realize that, and I know others do too, you know, that we are in a society that we're socially engineered at all times. We're social
yeah.
engineers. We're in a environment that does everything antithetical to Islam. Everything to try to keep us away from this walk. You know, there's social media. There's you know, we have so much the so-called whatever sex industry. You know. In whatever way you want to categorize it, you know, you got crime, you got the family situations. You know, there's so many divorces, and everything is geared toward not really having healthy relationships. So everything
yeah.
is, you know, if you have one, you're seen as odd or whatever, you know. It's just everything
That's
in
true.
This society, everything, get wealth any kind of way you should, even if it's illegally, you know, all of that. And more.
Okay.
You know, not to
All
mention
right.
every, but in other words, we have to realize that we're being mentally targeted to
yes.
really go off
okay.
deliberately.
All right.
So anyway, inshallah.
Thank you so much. Alaykum assalam. And we're gonna hear from Sister Princess Aziz. But I'd like to make this comment. And I think if we can come to a point where we take on the label of our human content, because
mm-hmm.
that's the foundation of Christianity. You know, we see Job, the prodigal son. We see so many examples that call us to the struggles and challenges of life, and how different people met those challenges that were people of faith. Same for the Quran, the Jewish label, the Muslim label, that beneath that foundationally we are human beings. And this is what the Quran speaks to in very, 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 very clear language, our common humanity.
Mm-hmm.
we have a common human psychology. We have a common principles of nature and nurture, you know, how the environment affects all of us, are affected in similar ways in terms of how we interact with our environment. And then we have a common human nature. We cry and we laugh. God tells us that's our common expression. You know, we have a common human emotionality, common human sensibility. And if you just share. We've got about 20 more minutes, Lou Princess.
Okay. I wasn't really clear if she was for doing the inner work or not. I want to hear that we are for at least doing the inner work.
She's for it.
Because that's
yeah.
– go ahead. I'm sorry. The inner work is necessary.
I'm
sorry.
I'm saying she's
I'm
for
sorry.
It, you know.
She's for it. Yeah, the inner work is necessary, it's required, and it's prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we do the work, the inner work. And so one truth that we can all agree on is that trauma is a mankind experience. We're talking
yes.
specifically about the experience in the flavor of chattel slavery, and as it relates to the descendants of those of chattel slavery, because we gotta streamline it. I could talk about the Jews, Aboriginals. I can talk about Asians. I'm called to talk about this particular monster and this particular machine. But make no mistakes about it, trauma is the enemy's way to arrest your development. Because when you are traumatized, you're not in a space as a child to process what that trauma is. And if your parents aren't in a space to process it, the traumatized thing never gets, we can reference the body keeps the score. It is inevitable that you will pass on that trauma to the next generation. And that's because that's the way we're made. We're made to pass
yes.
on information quickly.
Yes.
We're not, I mean, if it takes years to do for you to learn to run, when I say run, we wouldn't be at 7-10 billion people right now. You need to know to run
yeah.
when I say run, when I say whatever tone I say, whatever comes out of my mind. So all these things, they have their significance. We don't need to throw any of the trauma responses out and down the stem, but I think the important part is that we get to understand how our mind works and do the work regularly of assessing our fears, because the fear is also the foundation
yes.
of that comes out of the, first you've got the trauma, and then there's the development of the fear, which produces, you know, the syndrome of post-traumatic stress or post-traumatic slave syndrome.
If I may,
And this keeps coming back to me, you know, it just slowly eases back into my thinking that the Creator has put within the human makeup resilience, the ability to be able to bounce back, that life is designed to be difficult. Life is much, in many ways, life is much less difficult in terms of the physical challenges of life. But now we're at a point now in our human development where the psychological challenges, you know, are there. And we have people who understand the makeup that God has given all of us as human beings, and they work in a selfish manner to disrupt us, to retard us, you know, from being the best that we can be. And this program and other programs are designed for us to understand the social environment that we're in. You know, in communication, there's a certain understanding that we have to have in terms of how we, you know, the communication process is a science. You know, that there are things that you can put, I'm going to use the radio or TV analogy of static. And we know what static, you know, white noise sounds like, you know, and how it can affect our concentration. So there are people that understand that, you know, certain language will retard or diminish the ability of a person to be resilient. You know, God put it there, but they work with the persistence of stressful language or what was called the oppressive language environment. They understand when you oppress the environment of communication with certain negativity and certain foolishness that's designed to weaken the system, like candy and other non-foods, weaken our immune system, our health system. So please continue.
Yeah, I'm thinking the order of knowledge, or how the progression of knowledge, it comes with the facts of the matter first. And we are empowered by learning, by knowing the facts of the matter, and we're freed from misinterpretations, misperceptions, misguidance of the scripture, misguidance of ayats and revelation, knowing the science of the matter. Case in point, in our community, we are told in Quran, there's an ayat in Quran that says, if you feel that you cannot deal justly with the orphans, take you on 2, 3, or 4 wives. Now, in my years of being a Muslim, I've seen many different interpretations, expressions, and practices of this ayat. And most of them have been in a way to justify a lower level of sexual expression. Men have higher this than the other. I can take on more than one wife. First thing I want to say is, when we started becoming Muslim in the 60s, we were not far from chattel, if you will. And our men didn't learn to lead. They didn't have esteem. They didn't. So when did they learn to lead? And number two, if you understand how the what trauma or hurt has, the impact it has on the brain, you wouldn't have the argument of, I have a right to bring an extra wife into this scenario, knowing that it's going to change finances, it's going to change how you are, I am available for you, how, what kind of support I have for you, and it may possibly break us up. You may need to, you may take your children away from me, and now I don't have influence over them, and worse, she'll never bring them back to the masjid. We've seen this before, I'm just keeping it real. When we know the matter, we wouldn't, that's not the expression of that ayat. The first wife is to satisfy your desires, if you're going to use it on a sociological level. But on the sociological level, you've got that first wife. The second one is a lot. There's this dichotomy of you do for self first, and then when you've got yourself together, you can do for others. So your first wife, you all get that balance and harmony together. And then if you've got excess, and then if you can, you then take on 2, 3, or 4. That's on the sociological level. On the personal level, on the subconscious or the conscious level, there is the wife of the past, wife of the of wealth, wife of beauty, and then there's your soul. And so there are many different wives, and at the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you knew best, one would be best. So how do you consolidate forward with the one?
We don't want to rush past that. That you know, we really need to take our time with that, because
we skip past the science of the matter to practice a misunderstanding of a principle, or we develop a principle out of a misunderstanding. If we knew that me doing this way, if I'm the leader of this home and I'm going to do this way, and it's going to hurt you and devastate my children, but I stand on my right to do it because I believe Quran entitles me to rip your heart apart, and then you got to eat it. You got to just say, hey, I'm going to suck it up because Allah means for me to suffer this way. I stuck for Allah. That's not the truth about you as a human being. What does that mean for you?
We're not looking at context, because there's the history of how that developed, that there were the prophet and other believing men with him that took care of women who had lost their husbands. And that had to raise the children.
I do believe that practice is going to be significant in us rebuilding our community and healing ourselves.
Okay.
Just not the
okay,
way.
But
I promise to clarify that. I believe in it. I would be.
Just
I mean, I believe in it. I wish my husband would take on two, three, or four wives.
Okay.
So yeah, I do believe in it. But you do have another caller, and I don't want to.
Let me finish my comment. That there's a context, and the way that the introduction of multiple wife relationships is introduced oftentimes is not considered. And again, going back to communication, the environment that we live in, the social environment that we live in, is inviting us to a selfishness in terms of my individual happiness, you know, my need for fulfilling the pleasure principle that God has put within me, the principle of moving toward those things that make us comfortable and that are pleasurable, and removing ourselves from those things that challenge us, that are not pleasurable, that are difficulties. We move away from the difficulties and we seek out pleasure, and the environment, the environmental leaders are aware of this psychological makeup. So oftentimes the reason for bringing dignity to a woman who has lost her husband, or who may for whatever social reason has had children without the benefit of a man marrying her, or the loss of a husband. So there's a context there that's often bypassed, you know, in terms of this is a remedy. This is a remedy. This is not the way the natural design of male-female relationships is, one man, one woman, by and large. But we find also this element that Allah has permitted more women, you know, in terms of the numbers. We have more females than we have men. So that the need for that to be addressed. And I agree with you, you know, but we have to get the environment right in terms of how we're thinking and moving, because I've seen some very selfish moves with this idea. And I've had brothers argue with me, and I don't attempt to argue back with them. You know, I just leave them where they are, because there's no convincing them. I can tell by their spirit. I can't convince you that you have a right, that there's a right for you to have more than one wife, and not be socially responsible in terms of how you take on that second responsibility or third responsibility, that you're not putting the economic weight on the society through welfare and this kind of thing, you know, that you actually are capable of materially handling that responsibility as well as psychologically handling the responsibility. And, yes, go ahead, please.
The incredible thing about the whole equation, okay, first of all, I will iterate that I believe in it. It's going to be a significant tool to rebuilding and healing our community. However, as it is practiced now, it's tearing us apart.
Exactly.
We haven't gotten down the harmonious one in one yet. We're not
that's
so far
true.
From, we need to get down. I mean, I'm just like baffled. I see you wanting to build up the esteem of the brother to take on two, three, or four. Were we ready for that? And well, not that we weren't ready for it, but the way that it's explained, that it's explained in a way that it caters to the lower desires of the man. If it was practiced on a higher level, our matchsticks would be full. We wouldn't have enough matchsticks across this nation. But right the way it's practiced now, I've got nothing else to say. We've all been in matchsticks, matchsticks across the nation, and
we're going to go back to the callers. We've got about five minutes left. And I don't want to get us cut off, but we want to bring the callers back into the conversation. Amina Bashir, if you'll go ahead, please.
Assalamu alaikum. Now this topic just came up again. It has come up in the past in our family growth classes in the tallying. I'm laughing because.
Okay. Okay. I like that, family growth.
Because there's been so many divorces. You have a lot of Muslim women that do not want to ever get married again. Because of the misapplying of polygamy.
And the way the laws of the U.S. are established, I've talked to and heard from men that have no interest in remarrying, getting married again after divorce.
I was going to mention that. You know, we have a lot of divorcees, male and female, in our community.
That's right.
And a lot of the, and I hate to say it, but this is another thing that's kind of like the elephant in the room, and it's been going on. You have a lot of Muslim men that have girlfriends. They have girlfriends that are non-Muslim so that they won't have to take the responsibility. Once they get divorced once or twice, they don't even buy. So that's a known phenomenon that's been going on a while. And then we have our succeeding generations that want nothing to do with marriage because of these bad examples. And that's another outgrowth, and I hate to say it, of slavery. Remember, we were breeded.
We need to stop. I need to be aware of the time. Lou Princess,
let me just
I'm going
end
to bring
with
you
that. I'll go on ahead.
Thank you.
Salaam alaikum.
Thank you. Alaikum assalam. We appreciate you. I'm going to bring Bilal back in, and then Sister Lou Princess. We have you with concluding remarks. Welcome back, Bilal.
I think what I did and listened to Princess Aziz in the program, Michael, for the time I've been listening to it, I never really found out really what y'all what was going after. So I wasn't able to effectively do what could be done and, you know, to be a more of a good person inside of what I wanted to do because I thought I was just trying to curve y'all away from what y'all was doing. So praise be to God. But this one I'm going to say. Here you go. The first sign of an intelligent person is that they don't come out with what they have in their head before they find out what is needed or what it's asked for. So I didn't have that right.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Bilal. We're gonna conclude with Lou Prince's final remarks. We've got about you know, for safety's sake, I'm going to say about three minutes, Princess.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. First of all, alhamdulillah for the, you know, the space, the platform, the energy resources, and that we are ready, you know, to do the work that's required. Just to recap, we're all of the world. Trauma is everyone knows trauma. Trauma knows everyone. And what we're doing on this show is focusing on a specific type of trauma to dissect
uh-huh.
it and the impact that it has so we can address the thing for what it is on the what level before we get to how could this or why is this. And then we now know how to show or express this. We're on the what of the matter, the science of the brain, the science of the heart, the science of all of it, so that we can make better, we can get a better draw of what the message is for us. So, first of all, trauma. Everyone, no one got away from trauma. Not that is not a person in this world that has not been touched by trauma in some kind of a way. Number one, that's a fact. Number two, we have a specific kind of trauma that we can look at specifically in a way to dissect trauma and dissect the impact as it has had on our community. Number two. So those are two facts. And we have a responsibility and an obligation to do that work because it's us. No one is going to bring it to us. Jesus isn't going to bring it to us. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean physically. We're not going to get a physical delivery of this information. It's going to become an awakening
yes.
of the guidance from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the gospel of Jesus. So those things, recognize that they're inside. So this is an inside, internal battle and an uphill
yes.
battle. And I'm excited for it. And everyone that's listening, I'm excited for you all too, because we're doing some great things. So I just want to just say that. Don't be afraid of the terms, let's not push it back against this thing. Trauma is real. It has a real impact. We're going to break it down, figure out where the impact is, and we'll put the, as we reconstruct parenting, family, and leadership, that takes a deconstruction.
Yes.
So we're in the phase of deconstructing. That's where I am. We're deconstructing. Looking at the thing of
and,
the thing that they got that from Imam Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I try to put it.
I appreciate that. And again, because of the kind of environment that we're operating within, where you know we're comfortable with the idea. Many of us are comfortable with the idea of mentorship, but in terms of the leadership dynamics, you know, the African American in particular. And many of the people who are of the common humanity, you know, are not as respectful of the need for leadership followership dynamics. And we'll be revisiting that and this idea of resilience, you know, because you have big T. And little T, as I've been told from a former therapist, you know, we have the big traumas and little traumas, and particularly in the developmental stages, trauma can be very debilitating in the early developmental stages of, you know, of our children's lives. So we're going to be visiting a number of subjects in relationship to our inner life, the life of the soul, the life of our thinking and so forth. So thank you for joining us. Thank you, Princess Aziz. We're looking forward to you coming back on the 14th of December, and we're looking for the audience to join us. Go ahead.
Yes, the 14th of December.
Yes, ma'am. So we're looking forward to that. And we invite you to listen in to Keeping It Real on Sunday afternoons, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central Time. And you can hear Lou Princess Aziz in that format. Tune tomorrow for the community-wide Shura Conference Roundtable. I think it's about 10 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. But we're going to close out a little differently this evening. We're going to close out with Abdul Rahman Hatim's song, You Gotta Be Thankful. And thank you, dear audience. Before I go there, I need to, you know, continue my habit of making a supplication. O Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge, and none can judge against you. And those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Lou Princess.
Early in the morning, sailing friend, Ben's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years earlier, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I'm gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way.